This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Welcome, fellow baseball bums, to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. One part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let's welcome in the real talent of the show, Fish. Fish, what's going on?
God damn. Hey, I'm doing pretty good, man.
Did you see how I went right by John on
that?
He's the real talent here.
Okay.
What's going on, big guy?
A lot of things going on. My arthritis, wintertime, you know. My hand.
Did you ever, when you were younger, think that that was where the conversation was going to go one of these days? Sitting around, you got a Miller Lite, which is an old person's beer. Okay, you're drinking a Miller Lite, talking about your arthritis. You feel like Bob Uecker?
No. You know what? It's like whenever winter comes around, it's always just one knuckle that always feels the coldness.
Probably an old war wound, right?
Well, you know, I was in the trenches. I played a lot of football.
Left-handed catcher. That was you, bud, back there.
You know what?
What?
You didn't have to say it on
yes.
that last show.
Yes,
you
know? You are. I think it was impressive.
I think it was bullshit.
I would like for anybody to get back there and catch left-handed. That would be a hard thing to do.
You know, it was pretty good, though, trying to throw him out at third.
I know.
Third was good.
Think about
second
first base.
Second, a little tough.
Talk about all the pickoffs you had at first.
First was kind of tough. Should have been easy. Well, no, because you're kind of throwing it like this in that angle right there. Because if I had a clear – if it's a left-handed batter, I got no shot.
Well, yeah. But if it's a left-handed batter, you could throw the guy to third easier. Hey, let's bring our resident baseball expert in here who's become almost a permanent member of the Bums here, and that's Steve Flowers.
We like to take Steve-O, a petition on
Steve-O, what do you think about his technique over here? You're the resident baseball aficionado here with as far as
he's
skill
a coach. He has a team.
I know. So, therefore, and you coach a man team. If Jono brought his left-handed skills out, would you be willing to
I think he should at least give me a look.
Give me a tryout.
Much like in horse racing.
Uh-oh.
He's going to my tournament.
I know. He's going your way.
Let's hear it.
We would just put him down, make him glue.
Oh,
listen, see, you only got a couple of spots
listen,
you can play.
I mean
wrong.
This
that
with
is
love.
So wrong.
I mean this with love. You did not play with this man. He is
yeah.
a gamer.
Gamer.
Always big hits. Always played hard. Would yeah. rally the troops. Great in the clubhouse and in the dugout.
He's been in my dugout.
Leader,
I've been
leader.
In his dugout, and I still got fired up. I got fired up, and I'm watching him play. That's how
he doesn't appreciate that. This guy is obviously not a clubhouse guy.
He was worried about his
John
shoes
was certainly
being shiny.
Bringing a different intensity level to the game.
Yeah, that's how I look.
Because I didn't really see his baseball career, but I watched a lot of his football career, and I'm telling you, John was tough.
John was tough, Steve. Oh,
no doubt about it.
I'd love it.
I don't know.
Go into trenches with you anytime, bud.
I don't know how that works out for baseball, but. Football
yeah.
was nice.
I'd like to see Fish play a game at third for you. That's what I'd like to see.
Oh, Fish would be outstanding. Short or third?
Hey, I'm telling you, this guy can play some third. He was tough.
Yeah.
He'd stick his nose in there.
Hey, it only costs $250 to come on out for the year,
wait
bud.
A minute.
It only here's the deal. When you play man ball, it's all about money and showing up. So
well, I
you don't
say
have to look good
you,
in a uniform. You don't have to run.
You're
good.
A hell of a salesman, though, man.
Yeah,
you
hell
should
of a salesman.
You should have a spot for Fish for sure,
free,
absolutely on the house.
Well, you know,
I like on the house.
Hey, league fees are coming up middle of January. If you want to put down a deposit, you can be on the roster, and we'll see. You know, there's a lot of time.
On the
come
roster,
on out. Come on out. That's all we can say.
Yeah, I'd like to say yes to that. But you're going to have to get with my agent.
Well, let's get to the real players here as it's Christmas time and people are probably looking for presents under the tree in the form of free agents that are left out there. We've got a couple of big names still available that could really help some teams' offense in the form of Edwin Encarnacion and Trumbo. There's still some trade rumors going on out there that involve some guys that are impactful at the plate. You guys see anything happening here? I mean, obviously, as we get closer to Christmas, it may die down and that. But, you know, I had a guy earlier mention to me when I was talking about this that, and not that it worked out well, because it did not, because he had an awful year compared by his standards for sure. You know, Justin Upton didn't sign until the end of January last year. So there's still plenty of time for these guys to sign.
I like to know one thing. If I'm a player, do I tell my agent, I don't care what kind of deals there are out there, prolong this, make my name much more attractable?
But how do you do that? I mean, do you
just hold out? Just hold out. Don't sign anything.
Hmm.
Just keep your name out there.
Hmm.
I think it only helps people like him and Carcion.
I see where he's going with that. I think the problem is if the earlier signings set a precedent at a lower rate, then where are you now? Because everybody kind of follows that. All right, this is what the market's showing. This is what the worth. And I hate talking this because this ain't even baseball to me. I hate this number stuff. But
right.
I
can well, see get with it. That's that. Part of baseball now.
I can see where you're going with that, but that could backfire real easily.
Well, yeah, because isn't it kind of like the musical chairs? Sooner or later, and there's only so many chairs, and if they disappear, you got nowhere to sit.
But the thing is, though, Jimmy, that I would agree with is there's everybody out there needs a piece. You know, even if you're the Cubs, everybody needs a little piece. So if you've waited, and other people have made moves and signed people, then you get this team over here that still needs its piece, maybe your value goes up.
Your value does go up.
Well, okay, so I'm going to hit you with this, and I'm going to put you on the spot. So you're going to need a second here. So I want you guys to all think about this. How many logical landing spots are there for guys like Encarnacion and Trumbo? I mean, it's not like, don't get me wrong, every team would probably love to have them. But how many logical landing spots are there for these guys? It's not as many as you would think. So, therefore...
Why do you say that?
Well, because they're not defensive stalwarts, okay? Encarnacion's obviously been a great run producer, but he's getting long in the tooth. He's wanting to get paid. People are going, man, am I going to shell all this money out? Which they've proven they'll do to get a guy if he fits. That's why I'm thinking, does he not fit somewhere? I don't get it. I mean, the guy certainly... hits homers, drives in runs, especially clutch situations. I don't understand
If I got the numbers, you better come up with the wallet. All right, I got the numbers backing me.
And we know he fits somewhere, Jimmy.
Where? I'm going to ask you that. Where?
Well, he fits right into my favorite team, the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Now, are they willing to spend that money?
Well, there you go. That's why I said realistic.
Well, I get that, or logically or whatever. I guess I don't think logically. But there's a place
for him. No, you don't.
To act like there's not a place for him or not. Yeah, he's got people that can use him.
That's what I'm getting at, though. I'm talking about a logical destination.
Well, Steve was telling me what team Encarnacion would look good at.
And that team is, Steve-O?
Stay at home. Come on home to us.
You want the Cardinals too, huh?
No, I agree with you, Jen. You know, when you look at it, he's obviously, you know, because of his age and because of his skill set, he's obviously somebody that fits better into an American League uniform. And then you start looking at maybe the four teams out there that might be.
And they are who?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
I mean,
all right, so the Yankees went and got Holiday. Okay,
but
okay, they've already got him.
I know, but you can talk about a number of teams that he would fit into that might not, that he would help, but might not help enough. You know, whether that's
we're back to my word of reality.
Right.
Okay, so who does he fit that can afford the money? The Yankees have already got somebody. Okay, Boston's already got somebody.
Well, why did Boston get turned off from him?
I'm not sure. He seemed like a logical fit.
That's where I would have went.
Well, because I can tell you what happened. They went with two things, and again, I'm going to give you my conspiracy theory on this. A, you know, you still see every now and again a tweet about David Ortiz. You still see it. Okay, still see it. Number two. They went and got Mitch Moreland, who, while is obviously not in their class, he's that left-handed guy that can play first base as well. And obviously Hanley Ramirez has been playing first for them. You know, they may not be real happy with that, although I think he's done okay. But the reality of it is that could be their DH of the future right there, right, is Hanley Ramirez.
Can you look something up?
Sure.
Can you look up Encarnacion's numbers in Boston. What's his career numbers there? I mean, it got to be outstanding numbers. If I'm Boston, I look at that and go, why not have this work with us instead of against us?
I don't know that I'm smart enough to type in the old Google box or whatever Fish calls
it.
What
do you have,
thing.
The Elias
Computer
Sports
box.
Bureau
Computer
up there?
Box. Well, I mean,
I just put career stats with the guy's name and the Boston
that
state.
Easy, huh? How many of those beers you had?
Well, if I brought my laptop in, I could have found it by now.
You think so?
Yeah, positive.
Yeah, but you don't got a place to put the laptop with all them empty beer bottles sitting up there.
Oh, he's just making it up, folks. I only have five.
You only had five, huh? All
right. I still want to get back to the, his little knuckle problem in that sausage fingers that he's carrying.
I don't know. What the hell does he call these sausage fingers for? He says that on the Cowboy Show, too.
I think because they're big around as my ankles. Is why he's saying it. I don't agree with him.
They
John.
Look like bratwurst.
But I mean,
what the hell are you talking about?
You look
Jimbo.
Like you look like you're from Sheboygan Falls,
Jimbo.
Wisconsin.
He's right.
Hey, we got to get back to
here's what I got you. Here's what I got for you. He's played in 44 career games at Fenway, which doesn't seem like a lot.
Can you let us guess what?
Okay, yeah. In 44 career games, let's start with
a batting
one.
Average.
Yeah, what's he hit? 44 career games.
I'm
going to
say 287.
Fish?
Steve-o? Or Fish?
I don't even know if I can be a part of this game, but I guess 270.
I'm going to go 244.
296. Ding, ding, ding. Winner to the Cavs.
I was
going
to go 300.
All right. 44 games. How many homers?
Start with me again?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say 16.
Fish?
12.
10.
Fisheroo. Ding, ding, ding. 12 on the button. So, Steve, you either tie this thing up, or one of these guys win. How many runs batted in 44 career games?
Well, we have 12 home runs, 290 batting average, better.
This sounds very...
I'm going to say 37.
22.
29.
Jono wins 37 on the button. How did you... Wait a minute.
I swear to God, I don't have any stats on me or whatever.
It's ridiculous.
So the guy asked you to look it up. He's coming here. He asked you to look it up. You look it up, and he's like dead on the button on every one of them.
He's like Rain Man when it comes. Rain Man with sausage fingers.
Why don't you come up with another player? I'll come up with that answer, too. Why don't you come up with a player?
The only troubling thing here is I've never questioned your integrity.
Hey, I'll give you an interesting... How about this, though? If you're talking about free agents and we're talking about Boston, guys that might fit that bill... You know, Jose Bautista is obviously still sitting out there as well.
Oh, he's a troublemaker.
Yeah, but hang on a second.
And he's always hurt. Why the hell you want
he's
him?
He's played in 60 career games at Boston. What do you think he hit there?
Well, again, he's always hurt, though. I don't even want to do his
numbers.
Okay,
313.
No, but I'll just give you his numbers because I think a couple of them are interesting. He did hit less at 277 than Encarnacion. But in 60 games, he hit 22 home runs and drove in 51 runs.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, the guy's constantly hurt. But going back to our guy, 44 games played there, 36 RBIs. That's outstanding. What? How many home runs? 12 home runs in 44 games?
And I can't argue with you. I think when
– And the batting average over 290?
Again, it seemed like a logical fit
of
when
course.
It happened. Why it didn't happen. Now, did it change because they went out and got Sale? I don't know why that would change anything. I mean – What's the big deal there? Right? Am I wrong?
Well, money, but I think they spend their money, so
yeah.
That
I mean,
doesn't
well,
seem
Sale
like
doesn't
an
make
issue.
A ton of money, so it's like, what's the issue here then? I don't know.
I don't know what's the issue with you clowns in St. Louis. I don't know why you just don't dig in your wallet a little bit, and it wouldn't even be digging. Why don't you just pay the guy and bring him here?
Well, I mean,
he'll play here. Just give him the money. What the hell? I don't understand St. Louis, man. They just don't want to spend cash.
Well,
and we cover this every week.
I said in the other show, and we do, and people are probably bored to death of it. I know I would because I hate the number thing. But to give Mike Leake that money, and I hate the dog on him because he's probably a terrific person, but to give Mike Leake that money and then a year or two later not be able to give Encarnacion some kind of money, I don't get that.
Yeah, but
I don't understand the number thing. I mean, is it best to be first? Because Mike Leake got his, and now the Cardinals don't have that money, according to them, to spend.
They have the money.
I would agree with that, but I don't think that's their business practice. I guess I'm looking at it the way they run their business practice. Okay, they got the money, but they're only willing to spend X amount of that money. And have we gotten to the X part where they're not going to spend no more? Because how could this team not How could Encarnacion not help this team?
Yeah, I know.
You know, but I don't know the situation. Is he asking for like a 5-year deal? I wouldn't do that. But well, is he asking, you know, three years?
Going back to what you said earlier, I think the reality of it is Edwin Encarnacion especially, and probably Trumbo too, they help almost every team. I mean, how could they not, right? They're productive guys at the plate for sure. So they help almost every team. Then you get into, well, we've already got a guy that plays there. And then you get into the whole stat that drives me crazy, and it's wins above replacement, right? That one drives me nuts.
Look, man, you got Holiday and you got Moss. Together, they combined over 50 home runs. You will not get that back. You need a home run hitter on your team. All right? You lost 50 home runs. Goodbye. You don't have 50 home runs anymore. Take that out of your category. You need something back to stabilize that. And I'm not a Cardinal fan. I hope you guys keep doing your business as usual, because then you're going to have the lower teams catch up with you. All this, I'm the Cardinals, I'm this, I'm that. Forget about that. That whole prestige thing is gone right out the door. The Cubs have taken over, and the Cardinals are not matching the Cubs right now. Bottom line.
Well, I'll agree with you. I will say this. It sure seems like if the Cubs had a hole, they would fill it.
Yes, sir.
That's an issue. Yes.
Hasn't been true of in years past.
Right now, though.
So the Cardinals have done this on a pretty consistent basis. I would throw the number at least 25 years now.
Well here's the deal.
Okay, big deal.
You know, the bottom line is
right now,
the Cubs rebuilt, okay? And they built the right way. I mean, they got a new car. It's running great, okay? And the Cardinals might have a car that's free and clear, paid off, and it's out there. It's a 15-year-old car. Maybe they throw a couple bucks to help it, but, you know, maybe they're looking at, hey, do I go get new tires, new brakes, whatever it is, you Band-Aid it, or do they go for a new car? And you just don't know what's in their system. I keep going back. I've said it a couple times on the other show that how different is their team if Oscar Tavares is still around? You know, do you have those necessary moves that they've made that some haven't worked out quite as well? How awesome is their team if Lance Lynn isn't injured last year? So they got some pieces coming back to them, and they still have to replace that Oscar Tavares thing.
Well, listen, again, when it comes to trading prospects, I'm going to use what just recently happened. And again, this isn't a Cardinals show, but we're talking about them right now. You know, I remember when they traded for Hayward, right? And they gave up Miller or whatever. And everybody freaked out because they understood that there was an issue with Shelby Miller. And you could just watch Yachty catch him and you were getting uncomfortable. But it was the prospect. It was Tyrell Jenkins. Tyrell Jenkins is one of our top prospects in the minors. He's going to be a stud. He's this, he's that. Well, did anybody catch the news yesterday about Tyrell Jenkins? He was traded from Atlanta to Texas in a deal that they just made. And then promptly 2 weeks after acquiring him, he's been designated for assignment. So once again, we're back to this whole thing about we act like these prospects are for sure guaranteed going to be guys. Bullshit. If I can get a guy that can help me, I will trade. So therefore, when it comes to any of these teams, if you can go get an established guy in a trade for a prospect, now again, these guys get paid a lot of money to decide who can play and who cannot play. And it's no exact science. Guys look good, they don't. But when you see a guy with your own eyes at the big league level, like if you use the Cardinals as an example, Alex Reyes. I don't want to trade Alex Reyes. If the Toronto Blue Jays, if it was Sanchez, I don't want to trade Sanchez. I don't want to trade Urias if I'm the Dodgers. But I will trade you this guy in the minors that hasn't made it up here yet, because I don't know what he's going to do once he gets up here. You know, that's the issue for me.
Yeah, but it's hard to operate that way. All right, so I agree with that, Jimmy, because let's face it. There have been more can't-miss guys than the other way around. This guy's the next Mickey Mantle. This guy's the next Willie Mays that don't pan out. I mean, what pans out there? First off, who's going to be the next Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle? Not very many guys. So what are you talking about? One out of literally 50,000 top prospects turned into that guy? All right. But it's hard not to look at it that way. When you got Reyes, when you got these guys that you mentioned with these other clubs, it's hard to start shipping them out somewhere for some guy that's older that you may not have as long. It's just hard to do. I understand in theory what you're saying. The chances are this guy will never make it anyway. But who doesn't look at it that way?
All I'm saying is let's get rid of the X's and O's and all this stuff. I'm just saying your home run is down and it's going to stay down. What's that guy named Jerko? Yeah. What do you have, over 30 home runs?
At 30.
He's not going to have 30 home runs this year. You'll be lucky to get 20 home runs out of this guy this coming year. How many doubles did he have last year? 9 doubles? I think he had 9 doubles. If he's a power hitter, you should have more than 9 doubles.
He had some odd numbers.
I mean that's a real crooked number right there. 30 dingers, and then on top of that, you end up with 9 doubles?
And 59
RBI. Am I right with that?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to think that guy's going to be your home run threat.
Well, and I've said it before on that team. He's not going to be the home run threat. If you look at the lineup right now, he's on the bench.
Right.
They're putting a guy with 30 home runs on the bench. Now, we've discussed at nauseam, especially in the other show, that, yeah, he hit 30 home runs and drove in 52 runs or something like that. But the reality of it is he still hit the ball out of the park, so if guys were on in front of him, he would have drove in more runs.
I will make a wager with you. I don't see anything near 30.
Are we setting an over-under on that?
What would be the over-under?
No, I've been taking bets on the other show that he won't hit 22.
Yeah.
He may not hit 20.
Are we going to set 17 as the over-under?
I'd say if he listen.
I'd say 20 if he's over 30 right now. 20 would be a good
number. But
he's
not going to play every day, according to the way the thing is set up right now. And even if they were to add any of these guys we're talking about, Carpenter gets moved back over. They're going to play Carpenter. Mm-hmm. So he's either going to play second or third. This new guy would play first base. Diaz is going to play short. Where's Jerko play? So therefore, they're putting him on the bench. And whatever the reason is, I get it. He's not going to win a gold glove anytime soon. But I guarantee you he could play third or second. Mm-hmm. If he can hit 30 home runs,
yeah.
And I'll take him. So just my opinion. But the other clubs all have this same issue. Okay, like I'm not knocking the Yankees for signing Holiday because I think that they've got this different vibe going on there now, right? They're young. They didn't want to lock themselves in. But the Yankees could have signed. Listen, Carlos
Holiday
owner,
did
Trumbo,
the smartest thing signing that.
Well, I don't know that he did, but they did. 1 year for them, they get to see where they're at. They get to see how all this young talent progresses. And the reality of it is, if the talent doesn't progress and they got to go out and get a guy or two, the free agent class next year is much better than this year's.
You're looking at 137 games for him next year.
From
playing
who?
Holiday. And he won't even be playing out there on the field. He'll be DHing, and he'll be knocking the shit out of that ball.
I think so. You think he's a good signing for them?
Oh, I think it's a great signing for him. Any American League team that's a contender, I would have signed him.
Wow, that's interesting to hear you say that. I thought Boston would have been a good fit for him. But again, I wish him well. He was a great Cardinal. But to sit here today and try to look at where a Trumbo or an Encarnacion is going to wind up, you know, is interesting because the teams that you would logically think make sense – it's like, why are they an opportunity? And, of course, at the end of the day, the team that makes the most sense for Encarnacion is Toronto. But he turned down a 4-year, $80 million deal there, thinking that wasn't enough. Now, if that's not enough, I don't know what to do.
What if California
goes out? He may have
to
revisit that because I don't know that he's going to get 4-year, $80 million anywhere else.
What's that do for the players' union and the players if he goes back and takes less and after he turned it down?
Didn't they already pull that from him?
Well, yeah, but come on. I mean, believe me, they're no dummies.
You're right.
They need a guy because they're in the same boat as everybody else. They haven't done anything yet. They're tied to rumors for outfielders. I mean, they've been linked to the Rockies since day one.
How many home runs did Trumbo hit last year? It was
like
in the 40s, 49 wasn't it?
Or something.
Yeah,
he
47.
I think he led the league.
Well, how's he still out there?
He's going
definitely
back to Baltimore.
He's definitely
he's
a liability.
He's a
defenseman.
Feast of
I mean,
famine.
He's got to stay in the American League then, so that limits.
You would think. I mean,
he's a guy I think will stay home.
Listen,
at Baltimore.
Here's what's killing him at the end of the day, and let's try to be realistic about this, okay? Yes, he hit 47 home runs last year. The year before that, he only hit 22, and the year before that, he only hit 14. Okay, so, you know, it is what it is, okay? Played 88 games a year, he hit the 14, 22. So is this an anomaly? I mean, he did hit 30 home runs, you know, 3 years in a row basically before that. So what are you paying for when it comes to this guy? And I understand what these guys are doing. Is this guy a 47 home run hitter or is he a 30 home run hitter? There's a big price difference between a 30 home run hitter and a 47 home run hitter. And I'm sure Mark Trumbo wants to get paid like a guy that hits 47 home runs.
Yeah, and that's that. The truth is he's more of a 30 home run hitter, and we're saying that.
I would agree.
How many guys are hitting 47
home
runs?
He's also a 250 hitter. that doesn't play great defense. So obviously, as you would expect, the strikeout numbers are kind of high. But again, with that comes pretty good run production. Somebody's got to drive these guys in. So if you're a team that has a decent top of the order, boy, he sure would fit. And again, we're back to who, okay? He obviously fits in Baltimore. Although Baltimore can sit here and say, look, we've had Chris Davis, we've had Machado, and we've had Trumbo, and we can't win. So,
no, that's a very good point.
Yeah. Why am I paying the guy? Toronto might be able to say the same thing. Hey, our problem at the end of the day is we got to get some pitching in here because how are we losing these games? We got Josh Donaldson. We got this. We got that.
You know what I would do if I was Colorado? I'd go, I'll get in.
Well, that's Trumbo's been linked to Colorado.
If I was in Carcion, I'd go there.
Where are they going to play everybody? They would have to start making trades if they were to sign one of these guys. But supposedly they're hot and heavy on Trumbo. Can you imagine that guy hitting there?
Yeah,
it'd be something.
Dude, that would be – I would run the Vegas to the window and make a play for Colorado because they will win the games 9-7, 10-8 games.
Well, they're
but
they have
will have they will have an arsenal of a team there.
Well, again, think about it. They're linked to Trumbo. Can you imagine if you sign him? So if you sign him, you're probably going to put him at first base, which would then move Desmond back to the outfield. So now you got four outfielders. Somebody's going to go. I mean, they'd like to trade Cargo because of his money.
And Blackman's been out there.
Blackman's out there.
The name's been really escalating all around.
Sure. But let me tell you something. That Colorado team would be a sneaky team because let me tell you, the Mayhew's a hitter, okay? This Arenado's a stud.
Story.
I mean, Trevor Story comes back healthy. I mean, obviously, you know, he was young, so, you know, what is he for sure? We don't know.
He's still a beast.
Well, we'll see. Again, it's an interesting thing.
It's a sexy damn lineup in Colorado. You're not going to get it. You're not going to pitch around anyone in Colorado.
It's going to be tough. I mean, here's the deal. I can assure you this. The way it is right now, adding Desmond to that lineup, you got to buckle up when you go to Colorado. I don't care who you are as a pitcher. I mean, you're going to buckle up. It's going to be a rough ride for you. The truth of the matter is, though, when you're talking about guys that have the kind of production Trumbo and Encarnacion have, to sit here and realistically look at it and go, man, where would these guys – where can they realistically wind up? Tampa's probably – I mean, let's just go through the list. Tampa's not going to sign him.
No.
Miami's not going to sign him, which I don't know why Miami wouldn't sign Encarnacion. The problem is Encarnacion may not want to sign there. He may be like, I want to win.
Isn't that a big park?
Yeah, that's
Miami.
Decent size.
I think they brought the walls in a little bit, but
– I mean, but, you know, so look at that. I mean, you know, you can head up. You know, you got
– why wouldn't you go somewhere, though, that the ball carries or the walls are in – I'm going to look like a rock star.
Okay, so let's go to those parks. Philadelphia is not ready to win.
Yeah,
Cincinnati's not ready to win. Colorado's is a good thing, but Colorado's like they got a lot of players. So how does that fit?
Yeah, but can they put anybody out?
Well, yeah, like Jono said, it's softball games. I mean, they're going
to
win. 90.
I know, but are you looking for him to go to a place where he can win or go to a place where
well,
he can get paid?
Well, you'd have to ask him.
Right. And obviously, it's a place where he wants to go get paid.
Well, hang on a second.
Well,
let's
wouldn't
be
you
realistic.
Want to get paid?
Well, let's be realistic. What do they really want? They want both, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so take a look at this and ask yourself, where is the probably most likely destination for Encarnacion? It's right back where he came from.
Without a doubt.
It's a hitter's park. Ball flies out of there. This guy has done nothing since the day he got there than MASH.
And that's a, you know, when you're looking at the AL East, that's a...
Sure.
I mean, it's still – nobody's running away with things. I mean, they're all there in the mix for most of the season.
If I'm his agent, I'm sitting down with him. I'm doing exactly what we did 10 minutes ago. Look, this is what you did in Boston. This is what you did in New York. This is what you did in Cleveland. This is what you did here. This is where you did there. And then break it down and say, you can play at these places.
The guy's pounded the ball since he'd been there. He wasn't – hey, listen – he wasn't a bad hitter in Cincinnati. I mean, he was a good hitter in Cincinnati.
No, he's a quiet guy, and he didn't get a full-time, run at it. I think if we just took our time with him. But, again, that's Cincinnati, and who the hell wants to be
there?
Well,
he played third, and his defense wasn't that great, so he seemed like
a lot.
But
he didn't hurt us, though. He didn't hurt us. I watched his games. He never hurt us. I thought he was a pretty good third baseman. I mean, now he slowed down a little bit, but back then he was – he never hurt us.
Yeah,
and third base, we've always had a good.
Now.
No, and he wasn't. I think you're off a little there, Gene. He had quite a few errors.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
When you have 20-something errors in a season, that's a lot.
But you know what? He never cost us the games. Like, you know, it'd be like an error, but I remember him making errors, but it never cost us a run. Or, I mean, we come back and get out of that inning, you know? I don't know what – that's kind of weird to say.
Traditionally, third's a spot, though, where you make more errors.
You get less chances. I mean, to have 25 errors at third, that's a lot.
Well, look that up. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Get in your computer box.
I'll go with this year's stats obviously versus what his were.
Your first baseman, outfielder, catchers are going to have less errors than that.
Look, I don't think he'll play third again.
So
I mean,
you're talking about one of the middle
DH.
Infielders.
Yeah, traditionally shortstop gets the most chances, followed by second base. I mean, it's
You know what's really interesting though is you look at fantasy teams, and you look at what teams are out there that you pick up a lot of players from their lineup. You pick up a lot of players from Colorado. You pick up a lot of players from Boston. You pick up a lot of players from. I would say the Angels, maybe Seattle, maybe
Toronto,
Houston,
Texas.
Yeah,
and those kind of play a role. I mean, in what type of team that's out there that you could go to? I mean, those are the sexy teams to go to. I mean, no one wants to go to Milwaukee. No one wants to go to Philadelphia. No one wants to go to. Cincinnati. I mean, stuff like that.
Well, Jimmy, isn't Chris Carter still sitting out there available?
He's available too.
You're talking about a guy who hits 230 with
40 home run potential. Hey, Encarnacion had 2 years that, if you go by today's standards, would have led the league twice. So, I mean, like the number one guy last year was 22. Then it drops down to 19. Encarnacion had years of 23 errors, 25 errors.
All right, what's your point?
Well, my point is that even moving over to first base, that doesn't translate to going over there and being a stud either. So, again, he has a liability, whether you want to admit it or not. Anybody that would say he will do fine at first base is somebody that is desperate to bring in his bat. That's what you're going to say every time. Oh, he'll be fine at
first.
It's just first base.
To third, though. Well,
I mean, why not? At that level, the starting shortstop is a shortstop, and the guy that's right behind him is the second baseman, and the guy that doesn't play third plays first, or the guy that can hit that can't play outfield plays first base. But he's still got to catch the ball, and he's got to do stuff over there.
Yeah, but it's much more quiet.
How many guys have went to first, though, and just been awful? I mean, most guys, if you're good enough hitter, you can get there and make that.
Mike Napoli ain't, anybody forget about.
Amazing to me that given the field conditions and a lot of it's at turf, they're just immaculate. And these guys play so much baseball growing up that how can you not at least have some sort of leather on your hand that can make a play day in and day out? I mean, that's just at first.
Is this a kind of question that we're asking about baseball in general or about a player?
Well, about the major league right now. I mean, how is it in 2016, 2017 that there's people that are that big of defensive liability at a first base spot?
Hey, I'll give you a couple of stats here that kind of defend what Jono's saying, really. And this is why, again, as I'm saying this because I want him, so I'm willing to live with it. The reality of it is not bad. 2016, he played 75 games at first base. Okay, he only had 2 errors. 2015, he played 59 games. At first, he had 3 errors. So,
Right, and this is what I was – so what about plays not made?
Well,
and we're not going to get into that, but
that's right.
He's not making the plays either.
Right.
All right, the error numbers are low, but he's not making the plays that some of the good first basemen are making.
Which is a bonus if you get it.
Right.
Because typically it's a guy that can hit the place first.
But I'm saying to fit in. I would take, on my team, I'd take Encarnacion and put him at first base and let him be fine.
And you know another thing about him? I bet he's at a +4 or +5 on the players that play that day and when they win. I mean, the win-loss, he's a kind of guy that if you got in the lineup, he's probably a +5 even type of player.
Which is big. Out of the lineup, you mean?
Yeah.
I would almost think it was more than that.
More than a +5? +5 is a damn good stat.
I don't know. He just seems like he's more of an impact up there too. But back to this Chris Carter, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the play on him?
You want to sit there and watch a guy strike out and tons and tons and tons. We had him. He's gone in St. Louis. He's going to wind up somewhere, but it's the MO on a lot of guys. It's Brandon Moss. It's Chris Carter.
Right. We don't want those players, and you're a fantasy owner. I mean, how many times we get frustrated with a guy that's batting .210 or .220, and he's, if he hits a home run that week, one home run, and he struck out 20 times that week, it's frustrating as hell.
Oh, I know. And Chris Carter was on my team.
Really?
So, yeah.
And you probably felt that a lot with a 2-10 batting average.
Yeah, he ended up on the bench a lot.
Yeah.
But,
you see, it's a tough sell.
You're not hearing a whole lot about him. At least I'm not, as much as we're hearing about the Encarnacions and Trumbos.
Well, they're not batting 210.
All right.
Well, interesting that you say that. Do they almost have to look at it like a fantasy owner when it comes to a guy like that?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was getting at. Like, you almost have to look at it as what teams are out there that are sexy and what teams are out there fantasy-wise. You're doing the same conclusion as an owner or GM. I really think that. I mean, you're trying to get someone in your lineup that – are you looking up that one stat I threw at you?
I can't find it right now. I'll look for it here in a second. I'm struggling to find it.
And you know, just switching topics real quick again. Wong, I heard, was like a +2 on wins losses in the lineup. +2, folks. That's not really that big. You know,
you talking about Colton Wong?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would.
I don't know why St. Louis likes to build this little guy up all the time. He's this and he's that, but
because what we said earlier,
he's a +2 player.
He come up in this organization, so they're not ready. They drafted him. They're not ready out of college, so they're not ready to give up that, like, we were wrong. So to give up on Colton Wong right now means the Cardinals organization was wrong.
Okay, so then you're telling me then it's pride. Pride will overplay. Like, okay, the Cowboys or any NFL team. Right now in Houston, they just benched their $38 million project. Okay, they said that is not working. We're going to bench this QB. They brought this other QB up. What's his name, Steve-O? The guy they benched from Denver, they picked him up from Denver.
Osweiler.
Yeah, they paid $38 million guaranteed in your pocket to come to Houston. They pulled him out in the second quarter, not even the end of the half. My point is, pride has got to get the hell out of there and say, hey, we got to get the best player in there that could win for us. And that's what Houston came back in that game against Jacksonville and won the game with that backup QB.
Well, all right, so I agree with that, but that's not really the way you'd ask it. You'd ask it why, and I'm just throwing out there that it's part of the equation that it's their guy.
It's wrong.
They didn't get it from somewhere else. Well, yeah, at some point you got to pull the plug, but there's other guys with the school of thought, myself included, that Colton Wong, maybe in a different situation, maybe here in St. Louis, could be good because there's some things he does well. He's got to get it all together. He's got to play.
Well,
I mean, how long are you going to put up with that?
Well, I thought you saw it.
You did that with Fisher. It's St. Louis. Every year you heard in football, oh, it's a young team. Five years saying it's a young team.
Hey,
okay, yeah, it gets a little old, and even baseball too.
This isn't a football show, but
I understand.
Wait, I want to expound on that because has there ever been a guy that was given that much leash as Jeff Fisher in St. Louis?
And every year you heard it's a young team. Young team. We're learning. They go to Los Angeles. Now they're 3-1, and now when they start losing, he brings up. We still haven't adapted to L.A.
You know, you are old because in football you get old quick. You know, and if you wait 4 years, them guys that were young are now old.
Just please don't use it, not for long.
You know, here's the thing, though, with that is he I still don't think he got fired because of his losses. I think that with the loss and coupled, you know, he had the Eric Dickerson thing. There was about three things in a row there he had that it looked pretty bad on him. Eric Dickerson probably being the biggest.
Well, he leaked out, and I guess the conspiracy is that he leaked out his own contract extension.
And he says he didn't.
That he said he didn't. That from from before, that it was leaked out, then now all of a sudden, three months later, he has a 2-year extension.
Right, he had that.
And then you get Gurley saying, we have a
middle school
team, and then all of a sudden you get the biggest quan of it all, Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer for the, you know, probably one of the better players in Rams history, L.A. or St. Louis.
Oh, hands well, down.
I mean,
he's
you
the
have
best.
Several others in
no,
there.
No, he
wasn't
the best.
But he was the best.
No, he wasn't the best.
Who
no,
was Deacon, the best? Deacon who was the best Jones. Running back they ever had?
Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk was better
Absolutely.
Than Dickerson. Get
well,
out of here.
I
would have taken
argument.
Dickerson any
I
day
I could certainly
over
make that.
Faulk.
Well, that's you. That's why you
I'll
guys
take
don't
Kurt
win.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah, hey, you had Deacon right. Jones in there. You had a lot of guys, but
lots of guys.
At the end of the day,
I'm talking
when you have
running
a,
back. Now, Jack Youngblood did not run the goddamn ball, or your Deacon Jones. And if they did, they would probably run the wrong way with the goddamn thing.
Well, he said player. Then you,
I'm saying
the
best
back, and so
fucking
I'm saying
player
Marshall
in Falk. LA history has been Dickerson. And Falk. Then and then I'd probably turn around and say probably Kevin Green to follow that up with.
No, I'd take
it's Falk.
I'd take Marshall Faulk.
You can't say that. In L.A. history, you're
say
saying
it.
You're saying L.A.
No, no,
history.
No, well,
L.A. history.
L.A. St. Well, Louis history.
Yeah,
now, you know what? St. Louis does not count part of L.A.
Well, okay.
I think
well,
L.A. Well, L.A.
Everybody.
History. Well, you still got Deacon Jones.
Then
you brought up.
I don't know who you want me to say.
Well, I think L.A. history, half- the L.A. Rams, I think was – Dickerson, that's all you thought about.
Well, yeah, now you've eliminated the St. Louis.
I never brought up St. Louis. Not one time did I say St. Louis Rams. I said the L.A. Rams. Didn't I say
you
that?
You said Rams history.
John, I'll tell now you.
Right, all right. I said L.A.,
I
though, in front of that.
You might be off here, Gene. I'm going to give you some stats. You ready?
Well, on what?
I'm going to give you some stats.
On what?
On that Dickerson versus Faulk.
Yeah, you really trolled me on that, huh?
Well, I'm sorry, but. Here,
Dickerson never had a team like this to where they spread the whole offense out like that.
Here we go.
I'm telling you what, that was one of the best backs I ever seen in my life.
He was good.
In my life.
And I'll tell you something else. Here's a stat he's not going to give you. Marshall Faulk was one of the best blocking running backs in the league. And he won't be able to give you that much better than Eric Dickerson ever thought of being.
I don't know. If you ask 10 people, who'd you rather have? I think. Probably
Marshall
eight
Faulk.
Of them would
Marshall.
Say
well,
Dickerson.
All right, let's do this here. We got Eric Dickerson rushed for 13,259 yards in his career. Okay, Marshall Faulk rushed for 12,279, so he outrushed him by 1,000 yards in his career.
How many years, too, by the way?
Looks like seven, eight, nine, 10. Looks like Faulk played 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Played 176 games. Dickerson played 146 games.
146, and you're putting
hang
up.
Hang on, but hang on.
Well, hang on, then what?
We haven't even got the receiving, bud.
Well, Eric Dickerson received 2,137 yards, and
there
Marshall Faulk received 6,875 yards, which all combined led to Marshall Faulk with 136 touchdowns in the NFL and Eric Dickerson with 96.
Yeah, thank I'm just you. Saying that Eric Dickerson did not have the team.
He wasn't like a bad
that,
player.
That
yeah, but then,
well,
then we can never discuss who was better player in what era or anything
yeah,
else. Because, you know, this guy's got a better team, that guy's got a better team. I mean, how are you going to argue that? I'm just saying on
well,
raw
they're great
ability,
conversation pieces.
Marshall Faulk
at the end of the day.
Will not have to take a back seat to Eric Dickerson as a running back.
No.
That's all I know.
He will not. Now, the reality of it
that's
is.
That's according to you folks.
Jeff Fisher won't take a back seat to hardly anybody in losing football games, though, either, except for one guy.
Tied for first.
No,
I think he's tied for first.
Tied. You know, it's funny. Some people put out that they were sad. They were sad that he wasn't going to break that record. And I sent out, oh, don't be fooled. He will break the record because some idiot owner will hire him sooner or later, and he will lose another game. He's not going to get hired somewhere and go undefeated.
Oh, he won't be head coach.
Oh, he'll get a head coaching job.
I think he'll be assistant coach. Like
he'll get
like
a head.
Atlanta,
you want some of that?
Yeah,
I'll give you some
yeah.
of that.
How long you got here, Jim?
Oh, I mean, 20
years. How about
years?
2 years?
I'd be shocked if he went anywhere and played any kind of second fiddle to anybody.
Yeah, he's not
going
to do that.
I don't see him going anywhere and being an assistant coach.
But, I mean, he might take a year or two off, and it'll take a year. But, I mean, in 5 years, he'll be head coach again.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I take that back. He may go to a middle school and be an assistant offensive coordinator where he could implement his middle school offense.
According to Todd Gurley.
According to me, too.
Yeah.
Well, how about this?
In any case.
All right, so in the MLB, in kind of the similar fashion, okay, some of these teams that are becoming the perennial losers in these sweepstakes, they're not going to sign Encarnacion or Trumbo, as we've discussed, right? They're not going to do it. So I'm going to ask you both, I'm going to put you on the spot.
He needs to go to American League team.
Okay, so where do...
So I have eliminated how many teams right there?
Well, you'll half.
Half the teams okay. I've eliminated.
So, in your opinion, where does Trumbo wind up?
If I was a betting man, and
you are,
and
let's
I
get
am
that straight,
I would send him. I would if I was the Chicago White Sox, I'd take him.
Ooh,
I think the White Sox that would be an ideal place. They're just one hitter away. I think that would be a place
for
that,
Trumbo.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that would fit right in with his type of game style too. They're all aggressive hitters out on that team, and they work well together. It's the same kind of style as Baltimore. I would take him in Chicago if I'm the White Sox. That's who I go after.
Even after they've traded away these pieces and are going real young, you're gonna go after him.
I really think that Chicago would be an ideal place for him to play.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, again, we're talking about guys that I don't think anybody would be worse off for signing them. It's the reality of it. So Chicago's interesting. I didn't give that any thought. What about Encarnacion? Where do you see him?
You know what? What if – I'm just saying, what if Seattle went out and got him?
Oh, well. Well, what are they going to do?
I mean, Seattle have brought in the walls. I think that Seattle would be ideal for him. He's not a type of guy that likes to be focused in on. He likes a guy that Toronto was the type of that type of team too that Seattle is. I just don't think the coverage is there, and I think he likes it like that. I think he would fit in perfect in Seattle and do some damage out there too.
Well, I mean, you're going to have a hard time them signing him because Nelson Cruz is going to DH.
Right.
So where are you? I mean,
who's their first baseman out there?
Well, I think they've played around with that.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, they haven't had a solid first base play in Seattle in a while. So I think that would be a place where I would put them.
Yeah.
With great confidence.
Really? I'm with you. I don't think I'd have an issue, so to speak, with him playing there.
You haven't asked me yet, Jimmy, so here's my take on that.
You know what? I'm going to go.
I think there's a lot of –
Hang on a second. Before you go any further, I want to be realistic with Jono here. I'm going to give you Seattle. I think that's a good play for him. But here's the problem. So I ask you, because I didn't want to get past Seattle before I get to Fisher. Does Mark Trumbo say, there ain't no way I'm going to Seattle?
I'm not saying Seattle for Trumbo.
Oh, Encarnacion. I'm sorry. Does Encarnacion say, there is no way I'm going there? I'm going to be lucky to hit 30 home runs in that
ball. Oh, are you kidding me? They've been hitting the hell out of that ball lately.
Okay.
The walls, they brought that in now. I think you're seeing a lot more dingers coming out of Seattle.
I'm with you on that. I think that is a sleeper. Fish, what do you got?
Well, what I was going to say is
Trumbo first.
Oh.
No, I want to go with the Encarnacion because it makes more sense. The Trumbo thing, I really got no idea. I think Encarnacion.
You like my White Sox?
I think that he'll end up back in Toronto. I really do.
Encarnacion?
Yes. Yeah. Although I do think there's a lot of good fits for him. So I think there's a lot of teams out there that he would slide in nicely with. The reason I save Trumbo is because I don't see, when you use the word logical and realistic and all that, I don't see as many good fits with Trumbo. But I don't also necessarily see him staying in Baltimore. I think he ends up leaving somehow. But I don't see the same fits. I think Encarnacion could go a lot of places and fit in nice. I really do. I think somebody's missing a boat on this cat.
Well,
but I do think he stays in Toronto. I don't know about Trumbo, but not.
I think he'll
fits.
Be going off at 20-1 to stay in Toronto. I think he's moving.
Is it an issue? Is it just a general like pissed off thing? Why he's going to leave now? Like, you know. I can't go back there now and eat crow? Is that what it is?
Well, I think one of you guys brought it up earlier. I don't think that if he says, okay, I'll go back to Toronto, I think Toronto will have a little boner and say, hey, you know what? We're not offering the same as we did before.
Well, how do you think that's going to go over?
That's not going to go over too well.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Or, I mean, is it possible he has nothing and doesn't have a choice? I mean, is that even remotely possible?
He's definitely going to have a choice. He's going to have a choice.
I know they kind of tabled that, Jimmy, but is there any chance of Encarnacion going back to Toronto and getting that same original deal? I know they kind of tabled it, but
here's what I could see happening. This is just an opinion because, let's face it, everybody, you know, setting precedent and doing all that kind of stuff. What I would think would be interesting is if he went back there on a 3-year deal to make them happy but maybe they gave him a little bit more money. I don't know. Again, just a thought. I have no idea. But, well,
we
sure.
both
I
could mean, say face, walk yeah, away, and maybe. Say.
And
the public would eat up Toronto alive if he says, hey, I want to come back and play for this
when
town.
They got a chance at winning, they got
well,
a good
they?
Club.
Well.
Every year, though, they make a little splash, you know?
You know, I mean, they need some pitching.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
well, don't we all? But, I mean,
well,
you know,
I'm just being realistic here. I mean, Stroman has not done what they thought he was going to do. Sanchez appears to be the real deal. I mean, can you really count on Marco Estrada to do that again, what he did this year? I mean, they're you know, they've got a great closer, a young, you know, an Osuna. If he stays healthy, he's good. But man,
But that pitching squad in general, though, you could paint a lipstick on that all you want. But
Stroman's supposed to be their ace, and he did not do ace like things.
Still, I still don't buy into their pitching.
Well, they're going to have to hit to win. I mean, the strength of their club was hitting, but I can assure you that they're going to be a lot less. They're going to be a lot more worse off without Encarnacion than they are with him.
Well. Who says you got to hit to win? You don't really have to.
Well, sure you do.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But no, listen.
There's one thing we're not kidding about here, folks, is lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great shows for you. We got MMA. We've got some great hockey shows. You've got a hockey show, don't you, Jimbo?
That's what it said in the yearbook, John.
And this hockey show that he's got, what's it called?
Blues NHL podcast,
and these guys are giving out tickets right now. How do people get involved in this? The Winter
Blues
Classic.
BluesNHLPodcast.com. BluesNHLPodcast.com. You better get on it. The drawing ends tonight after the Blues game, okay? So you go to BluesNHLPodcast.com. On the right side, you're going to see Winter Classic Contest. Click on it. It'll walk you through it. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do.
Oh, my God.
Might have an opportunity to win some tickets. That's worth coming in town for if you're not even local.
Yeah,
I can
tell
you
no
that.
No kidding,
sure.
Man.
No, it's a great thing. Hey, how's your Cowboys stuff? I mean, you guys are...
It's outstanding. We had over 8,000 people that viewed our live session during our games here. While we kicked back, we talked to you guys. You turn off the announcer of the football game, and you just hear us after the play is done because the NFL, you know, Goodell, he'd probably sue my ass too somehow. But you guys get our little input of how the game's going and everything, and it's like a whole family kicking back. A lot of bar people just drinking and talking Cowboys, man.
Fish, have you caught this yet?
No, and I apologize because I want to because I think it's a great concept. Think about this: how that wouldn't work like in hockey because it's too fast paced, and it wouldn't work in baseball too slow. Football's the perfect sport.
Well,
it is.
Oh man,
it's
I tell
awesome
you what,
because what I enjoy most about it, I've caught their act. It's pretty good. What I like is that just like a fan, and this is probably the coolest thing that I've noticed when you guys do the Facebook Live with the Cowboys, for sure, is that once a play's over, and then you've got that 30 seconds or whatever it is before the next play, or if it's longer because of a timeout or whatever, is you guys talk no differently than a fan would talk to himself if he was sitting on his couch at home.
Right.
You talk about things like there was and I'm just giving you an example. I was watching the game, too, because I was watching it along with you. And I'm not even really a Cowboy fan. I'm not much of a football fan, but I was watching a game. And I was thinking to myself, how in the world are they not going to Witten here? And it was like you guys were reading my mind because you guys start talking in between the plays. Like, they got to start finding Witten here. And they let me tell you what I'm seeing.
Right.
So you're kind of breaking it down, giving your perspective to the listener.
And it's a fan perspective.
Right.
It's a fan perspective.
And I guarantee you, of all those thousands of people that are watching,
yeah,
they're thinking the same thing. So, and they just want to talk to somebody.
Oh,
about, right?
Dude,
which is great.
We got some loyal callers. Yeah, we've got some loyal callers. Me and Steve-O, we get this thing rolling. We got Rodney. Rodney's been great on it. Actually, Steve-O's even going down to the game this Monday. That's going to be a little exciting. We'll get to talk to him before the game, halftime, and all that, or even during the game, if he wants to call in, that'd be great just to hear the people in the background and all. I really think this lineup media has really taken off. We've got a lot of great shows, and it's not the same old a year and a half ago or anything like that, man. This is a live, blown out thing now. That's lineup media is really. God bless, because we've come from nowhere, and now we're taking control of everything. Really.
Well, it's an exciting time, especially to be part of lineupmedia.fm. I encourage you to check it out. Even if not the shows we've discussed, they've got tons of different types of entertainment for you to look at and say, hey, you know what, I'm really interested in something like that. I guarantee you'll find something. Make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm.
Yeah, even if you get into music, our producer, he blows horns and stuff, you know?
Horns and stuff.
What's your show called,
horns,
Brian?
Horns and stuff, right?
I follow the sound. Whatever. It's a couple chimpanzees that walk around playing the flute and the trumpet and
I've
stuff.
I've never seen a chimpanzee walk around and play.
Wouldn't that be great, though, seeing a chimp playing a trumpet?
I saw one that could do sign language once. His name was Coco.
Coco.
Yeah, that chimp's all right.
Hey, does chimpanzees scare the hell out of you guys? Hey, those monkeys with those orange asses.
This show is taking a weird turn.
Those things are frightening to me. I don't even like to go to them at the zoo.
I step out of the room for 3 minutes and it went to. I want a handbasket in here.
It's all baseball. We're talking great
stuff.
And
we started with that cowboy thing. That's the next show I tune into, Jono.
You'll love it. Honest to God, it's fun and everyone gets involved. We get people that chime in saying, you know what, this is what every show. And then Steve-O told me, I think it was last week and a half ago, he goes, John, they're thinking about doing this type of show from other football shows now because of us. We're the pioneers of this now. But you know what? What separates us from them is we are fan-based and we are like the fans, and that's what they like about us. We're not the X and O's. I mean, we like to be, and sometimes we even try, but those two, Steve-O and Rich, I mean, they messed up where our Cowboys are playing, and we had like six trolls that attacked us on the site.
I tell you, attacked.
They attacked us. We weren't even ready for that one.
Well, that's the beauty of it, man. I love it. I'm gonna have to get in there and listen to that.
It is. It's awesome.
During the Cowboy game, just put our site up, thecowboyspodcast.com, and just watch our thing and just watch the game with it. It's outstanding. It's like you're there. And for anyone out there that's by themselves, got nothing going on, you know, the party went without them, it's a whole big group here with us, man.
Why are you telling me that?
I was looking at my microphone.
The party left without me. Steve Flowers calls me from every party he goes to. And
I wasn't talking about you. What are you acting like Peter Brady for? I'm not talking about you.
The best part is if it's like most every other guy out there, you know, your kids really aren't interested in what you're doing, your wife's wanting to read a book or watch The Real Housewives of something,
right?
And you want to watch your Cowboy game, right?
And
so you're
just
watching,
have people with
you're
you.
Watching it, and now you got 1,500 people with you. You can talk to them and chime in. It's a good time.
A beautiful concept, man.
Well, I can tell you that very happy to be part of lineupmedia.fm. Great quality content. I guarantee you'll find something that'll interest you. Tune in. Check it out. We do appreciate you guys tuning in.
Last couple days for Christmas shopping. Yeah. You guys could still do it here. I mean, Amazon sends us shit within 24 hours, you know, and you guys can still order. Go to BleacherBumsPodcast.com, and it'll be on your right-hand side. You'll hit Amazon. Hit Amazon. Order what you want. You will not even see us at that point. Just hit on Amazon, shop away, and you know what? I think a drone will drop something at your house. That's how fast Amazon's sending.
We got drones dropping stuff in here, for Pete's sake.
Man, they're faster than Jimmy John's.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, from all the gang here at the Bleacher Bums, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a very safe New Year. Well, next week we'll have a Best Of segment for you guys to kind of catch up on some of the neat things that we've been doing here.
I think
it should be
a session about, you know, about me, more or less.
More you? What's going on in you and your
No, world? No, I mean one of the Bleacher Bums.
Oh, yeah, the one where you were primarily premier.
Yeah, that type thing.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, hey, for the Bleacher Bums, I'm Jim. That's Steve.
Merry Christmas, my friends.
Jono. Bleacher Brian, thank you. See everybody in the new year.
Ho, ho.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.